So I spoke yesterday and Kirsten reminded us earlier this morning of how helpful it is to establish a clear sense of where our anchor is for a practice. Another way of putting it would be, what's the agreement we make with ourselves for where we will invite and encourage our attention to come back home? And it may be a narrow or small place of attention, such as the sense of connection with ground beneath the body. Or the sensations of breath in the body in a particular place, such as the belly, or the chest, or the mouth and nose. Or it could be a wider frame, such as the whole body. Or it could be the space beyond the body, including sounds coming and going. So just can be really helpful to be clear at the beginning of a practice. Where is your home base? Where is your ground, your anchor? And inviting us to develop a deep and nourishing relationship with this home ground, this anchor. Potentially a place of attention with endless depth and possibility. Coming back with kindness and curiosity to open to the sensations that are here in this moment. And this moment. And this moment. And if and when you notice that your attention has wandered away from its home, from the anchor, noticing how it is to wake up to that has happened. And if there's any harshness in that realization, can we just pause a little there? Maybe remind ourselves that this is very normal. This is just the puppy mind doing its thing. But then, with an attitude of the deepest care that we have accessible to ourselves right now, with deep care, can we encourage our attention to come back to a place, or our home place, as an act of kindness, of compassion for ourselves and our minds. Perhaps reminding ourselves of any intention we have to deepen our practice, to explore deeper and nourishing ways of relating to ourselves, our experience. Coming back to the simplicity of this moment, with ground, with body, with breath. How is it now in your home ground, in your anchor? What's here? If you notice there's any aspect of the sensations that is a little bit pleasant or nourishing in any way, or just even a little bit okay, an invitation to open to that aspect of the sensations. Tuning into any nourishing qualities that are here. If there are no nourishing qualities that are here, maybe just noticing if in the mix there's any aspect that is a little bit calming or steadying. Or maybe just allowing the experience to unfold as it is, with kindness and compassion as best we can. And if there is anything that's challenging, that's arising in the practice, it may be helpful to try the practice of rain or grain that I introduced last night. Firstly, acknowledging that there is something here that is difficult or challenging. And just seeing if it might be helpful to remind ourselves of our connection with the ground. Allowing ourselves to receive any sense of support that's here to help us with this challenge. So maybe physically just sensing into that contact with ground. Perhaps a imagined or felt sense of the support the earth offers us by holding us. Or it may be that the breath is nourishing and helpful as a resource. Or another part of the body that's helpful, that is not caught up with the challenge that we're with. Perhaps the hands, sensations in our hands or in our feet. Or another part of the body. And if there is no difficulty that's here right now, really hope that you can let my words flow around just like sounds from birds or wind, and continue practicing with your anchor, with opening to what's here for you. If you're working with challenge, then moving on to the R of rain or grain, which is recognize. So recognizing the challenging nature of what's here, whether it's in body, heart or mind. And maybe gently noticing, lightly noticing, is this one of the hindrances? Is this desire, wanting what I don't have, aversion, not wanting? Is there restlessness or agitation, dullness, sleepiness, or doubt, or perhaps a different difficulty? Reminding ourselves that this is part of being human. This is really not our fault. These states of heart and mind arise. What would it be like to invite an intention of allowing? As best we can, allowing this to be here, just as it is. In this moment, letting be. as we encourage allowing and letting be, it might be a space in which we acknowledge our common humanity, that it's not easy to have a body, heart, mind, and maybe encouraging kindness or compassion into the mix. This too. In the midst of whatever is unfolding right now, can I be with this? And if I can't be with this, can I be with the not wanting, the aversion to this experience? Can I allow that too? Moving to the eye of grain or rain, investigate. Maybe as we linger with a spacious, kindly awareness with this experience, be allowing it to kind of become a bit clearer, or to see what the elements of what is unfolding. Maybe a particular flavour of emotion is here. Maybe there are particular images in the mind that are accompanying this experience. I'm particularly noticing how it may be showing up in the body as sensation. And tuning into the body a little bit more, moving to N of nourish. What might be helpful? What might the body need right now as a helpful response to this experience? So asking of the body's wisdom, beyond our ideas of what may or may not work, but dear body, what do you need right now? It may just be a quality of allowing and holding. Or opening to a bigger space around us. Allowing what's here in the bigger space of awareness of this room. Or any particular responses the body would find helpful with the breath, or softness, or maybe something else arises from the wisdom of the body, the wisdom beyond our normal minds. And it may be that it's helpful to continue with the practice of rain, and we can cycle through those different stages again, if that's helpful. Or it may be that that feels enough, and coming back to your anchor, to your initial agreement with yourself for this practice. How is it now, in this moment? We'll just spend the last few minutes in silence together, following your own threads of practice. So you may want to stretch a little bit, move. Please feel free to stand if you'd like to. Just take care of the body in the way you need for a minute or two. Just when you're ready, we'll come back and I'll just offer a few reflections to conclude our morning instructions before you move into the next period. So, I haven't got a lot to say actually, but I hope that this method or this framework of grain or rain may offer some pointers to relating to any challenging or difficult experiences that arise during our morning of practice. But also want to acknowledge that that might not be where you're at, and it may be that through this retreat you're coming to a place of more settledness and peacefulness. And if that is the case for you, then a real encouragement to enjoy and really go with that. We don't need to be looking for difficulty if it's not here. And that often the sort of steadiness that can build during a retreat like this is so precious, and a real opportunity to deepen in nourishing qualities of whatever it is for you, whether it's stillness or calmness. Sometimes, and I didn't give a lot of instruction on this, and it's another theme really, but it can be really supportive if things are fairly quiet to particularly develop a sensitivity for what might be feeling more pleasant in the mix. So in some meditation circles, there can be a bit of a suspicion of pleasantness that might lead to grasping. But if there, in meditative practice, if there is a sort of pleasantness that's arising, it's really a nourishing thing. And the Buddha himself, really, it was an important part of his journey and his practice. And he called this sort of experience a blameless pleasure. So really, if that is happening for you, and it won't be here all the time for any of us, and it depends on our own conditions, whether this is a retreat or a space where this may or may be arising for you. And it may not be, and it may be there are other things that we're being called to work with. But if it is here for you, then a warm encouragement from me to explore, enjoy, see where that might lead for you during this retreat. So we do have a little bit of time before we're due to finish, and I'm feeling a bit called to break form a little bit and just see if there are any questions that anyone has around these very practical sort of instructions around meditation practice, how we might bring tools or work with challenges or pleasant experiences that are arising. Just want to check if there are any questions at all, if anything is confusing or not clear, or you're not sure about something or how to work with something. Hello, so I'm not going to come with a microphone, so if you speak up, I'll repeat back with the speaker. That's a really lovely question, thank you very much. So to repeat back, just check I've got it correct, that, so what's your name?
Ren.
Thanks, Ren. So Ren was saying that your kind of habit, perhaps, or what you tend to do is see what you're drawn to in any one practice period in terms of what anchor to use. So that could be quite a number of different places to put attention. But you're noticing that sometimes it feels like there's quite a lot of shifting around, and you're wondering whether it might be helpful to choose one anchor and work with that on a more kind of consistent basis. Yeah. Thank you. Really lovely. And my sense is, of like with many things, there's no right or wrong here. But perhaps what do you feel would be most useful for you in your journey of practice? I would say, and I ask my colleagues if you have any input as well, is that there is a real advantage to finding one anchor that you develop a relationship with, like a good friend, like a best friend in a way, that you become even better friends with over time, and that you have layers and layers of experience that sort of develops with that anchor. And then you can go further with that. At times, it can feel like a change is needed as well. And I think it's good to hold these things lightly. And if there's a challenge or difficulty with an anchor, it can be quite helpful to work out maybe what that is, rather than just let it go. But sometimes, particularly for me, I find in terms of focus, sometimes even with one anchor, so there's so much range one can use even with one anchor. So for me, I would use the body quite a lot, the whole body. And if my mind is very busy and distracted, that might become a little bit more focused on the bigger sensations, because they're steadying for a busy mind, like the feeling of my weight in contact with the ground, or my belly and breath there. But when I'm a little bit steadier or more settled, then I'll open to the whole body, and that's my main frame that I'm sort of investigating. And any anchor, we can do that in terms of narrow and wider focus at different times. And bring in different attitudes as well, of kindness or curiosity or other attitude. So, yeah, it sounds like you may be interested in trying to work more with one anchor for a while. And if that is the case, then that could be really interesting journey, and encourage you with that. Anything? Thanks, Ren. Hello.
Hello. I found my focus has improved over the last few days. But I tend to go through a rhythm. I might get 30 minutes or so of feeling quite focused and feeling like I'm working well in meditation. And then the focus goes.
Thanks, Simon. So Simon is expressing the experience of increasing focus over the retreat and noticing that within a practice period of stillness that different states will come and go for a few minutes or up to 15 minutes at a time of restlessness or a state of mind where there's not so much focus, and then it seems like the focus comes back. And you were, the question was, is this an indulging in a hindrance, or is this a natural flow of experience? It's interesting, the word indulging in a hindrance. My experience is resonate. I feel like I recognize what you're saying in my own experience, and I often feel like these states come and go almost without much control from my side, and I quite like that and sort of quite enjoy that watching of the coming and going, particularly of course when something unpleasant goes. It's like, oh, that's great. And oh, this is back again. And that position of not seeing this as a problem I have to solve, but more a state of mind and heart that's arising due to conditions that will do its thing and pass, I find helpful. And there may be subtle things going on, like maybe I'm, you know, maybe we can almost like the subtleties of whether we are letting ourselves kind of overly kind of sort of drown in something, and whether actually pulling back a little bit would be helpful. Or whether actually we're getting a bit tight about trying to control this in some way and letting go a little bit into letting it flow. That could be something to explore. I think generally for me the rule of thumb is this way of relating feeling helpful or skillful? Is it leading onwards in some way to something that feels a little bit freeing and heartful or not? And that's quite a useful guide for me.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.